share God's word with us. Thank you.
Readings from Romans 6, verse 5 onwards. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Becky. Great. When I was... Every time I come to preach here, it is the subjects are so challenging. It's like, you know, and so I have these weeks of going through sort of conviction, which is great because I've learned not to feel guilty, but to move into conviction and sort of really work through some of this stuff. It is amazing. God's word is amazing. And, you know, I'm sorry, but the challenges I've gone through over these past weeks, I'm now going to pass on to you. But it's not only the challenges, it's the blessings, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to do these things. So in my daily Bible reading, when I'm thinking about this united in his death, I come across this passage, Matthew 20:20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom. Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. Jesus said to them, can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? Think about Easter. Think about all the things that Jesus is going to go through. We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup. Wow, they did not have a clue, did they? They did. I'm glad sometimes we don't know things. I'm glad sometimes we don't even know what the future is. That God has the future and God has us in his hands. Because the passage made me realize the physically putting to death daily of our sinful natural desires by resisting them and denying their power through the Holy Spirit is important and possible through being united in his death. We know that. And we know that from the scripture that we read. But as well as recognizing being united in his death as a legal standing, if we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior and we've asked for his forgiveness, we are free from the consequences of sin. That is that we will spend eternity with God. We will not be separated from God forever. It's a standing we have in him. But we cannot separate them if we want to grow in Christ and as his disciples. We cannot separate the legal standing with the day-to-day dying to sin and the day-to-day living for God. And maybe for some people that they will actually pay the ultimate price of physically dying as martyrs. So though we may embrace the benefits of the one, many people want to embrace the benefits of being forgiven of sin, you know, and if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, and all of those type of things. We want to embrace that, all the benefits of being united in his death. The fullest and most meaningful Christian life and discipleship is embracing both. You see, some people are just saved. Legally saved. They believe in forgiveness of sins. But they haven't moved on in their faith to believe they have power over sin. It's interesting, isn't it? There is a difference. It's very, very powerful. So a lot of us are very weak Christians and we're going, and I'll count myself at times, I've been exactly the same, very often, oh Lord, remember your scripture, John 1:9, you know, if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And you can almost imagine God saying, yeah, Paul, I will do that. I see your heart. You want forgiveness. But how about standing in my strength when those challenges and those temptations come? It's another step of faith. You see, are you saved or are you a disciple who is saved? That's the real key thing, isn't it? You see, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, they were going to be disciples in the fullest sense. They didn't know it, but they were going to learn an awful lot about dying to self, living for Christ, and eventually paying the ultimate price. You see, it's not good for us to view the disciples as being different from ourselves. And we do. We do view them differently, or most of us do. We see them as being very special. We see them as being, well, they were chosen to be disciples and they followed the living Lord Jesus Christ. They were there through all the main points of his life. You know, it's not a good way to look at things. I was going to say it's a dangerous way to look at it. It's not good for us to view the first disciples as being different from ourselves. And we were never meant to. You see, for me, it almost feels like their ordinariness was so we could identify ourselves with them. With all their weaknesses that come out in the Gospels, it's that they were ordinary men. And the women who followed Jesus, ordinary women. They were just like you and I. They were ordinary. They'd had ordinary jobs before they were called to follow Jesus in a particular way. And so I believe that we are to identify with them, their weaknesses and their strengths, and like them, see that God still calls us and uses us with those weaknesses and strengths. It's amazing. The Bible doesn't hide things. This is about Peter. You know, the thing, denying Christ 3 times. You know, James, on the sons of thunder, when he called down fire from heaven on those sinners, not realizing that their own hearts were not right. So ordinary. How many times, like those sons of thunder, that we have thundered, look at those terrible sinners, look at them. And yet, we need to actually reflect on our own lives. It's much more subtle. Our sin is much more subtle. Generally, for most Christians, our sin is so subtle that we don't even see it unless we actually take the time. That arrogance that comes in, that sort of idea that we're better than others, That idea that, you know, all those things that are happening on different places in the States and the murders in London, well, you know, that's... But you know what? We need to look at our own hearts as well. You see, there are disciples today drinking the cup that Jesus drank on our behalf. Jesus drank a cup on our behalf. Easter, we know. He went to the cross, shed his blood. And the disciples today. But we think of the martyrs, but how many of us are each day dying to self and living in the resurrection life of Christ? Because our old life is dead with him when he died on that cross. Historically, for almost all the disciples, the invitation to follow Jesus and be united with Jesus, that invitation that initially was become and follow me and become fishers of men, eventually meant physical death for every single one as a martyr, except for John. It's amazing, isn't it? Well, you're all looking at me happy again. But what we've got to realize is that we are part of something extraordinary. We are united with the God who said, "Let there be light." We're united with the God who created the universe. And yes, we're united in his death, and he wants us to follow him, but it's absolutely an amazing thing. I was pondering it today and, you know, just realizing how powerful our God is. And we were talking about no mountains too high, you know, and, you know, things that seem impossible. I was listening to one preacher this week. It just so blessed me that everybody outside of God's kingdom who do not believe in God, they see the universe as closed. So any redemption, anything comes through science, medical, anything, any answers are within this closed universe. But we as Christians, we don't believe in a closed universe. We believe in a God who breaks in to his universe. He breaks in to his creation. So when things seem absolutely impossible, it is possible because our God breaks in. And that's why, as a little throw-in, we should always pray and never faint. Never give up praying, no matter what it is. Just want to challenge you with that, whatever you're facing. In some situations will end up, maybe if it's a sickness, it will end up, maybe possibly the person being healed or maybe going to glory. But never stop praying. Always pray, Jesus says. That gives its authority, doesn't it? Jesus says you ought to always pray and never give up, no matter what you face. Well, I've already had a reference today about football. So I'm sorry, there's a reference to football coming up right now. How many teams do you think are in the Premier and Championship League and the other leagues that have United in their name? Come on then, Dave. How many have United in their name?
Ooh.
Yeah, you think it's more than 10? Wow. Any others? 16. Well done, that man. 16. Just for the fun of it. Manchester United, Newcastle United, Leeds United, Sheffield United, West Ham United, Colchester United, Oxford United, Carlisle United, Peterborough United, Torquay United, Rotherham United, Southend United, Hartlepool United, Scunthorpe United, Hartford United, Chesterfield United. 16 teams. It's quite interesting because whenever I thought of why they've been called United, I thought it's because they've got to play in a united team-like way. So they play in this, you know, and that's why they won it. So they're united together, and the more they're united together, the more they'll win matches and everything else like that. But that's not the main reason. The main reason was some of these teams were merged together. There were teams in an area, and they merged together to make Manchester United, Oxford United. It's very different, isn't it? Very different about merging something and making something new to actually just saying, well, we're going to play unitedly. You see, acting together in a united way, particularly when we're talking about united with Christ and his death. It's not working in a united way with him and just trying to live a life that's honoring to his death and like his death. No, we are merged into his death. And spiritually, there is something that has happened in the spiritual realm that we are truly, at a spiritual level, dead with Christ. Dead to sin. Now, don't ask me to explain that fully. It's received by faith. It's received by faith. So we're merged into his death. The Greek word used is symphutos. Sorry, I just thought I'd have to. Symphutos. United to form a single part. Now, we can talk, and we will talk a little bit about the advantages of being united in his death and things like that. But if we miss the death part, we're never going to be disciples. We'll just be those who just get into heaven by the skin of our teeth. Saved and no more. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Now, that blows me away. I just want to understand that more. I just know somehow by understanding that scripture more, I will be in Christ more. And be more like him. I read that again. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. And we do that through coming and asking him to forgive us of our sins, to come into our life. And we receive the fact that when he died for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. And then we move on into that resurrection life, which I'm sure you're going to hear more about next Sunday. But we will touch on it today. This being united with Christ, this being one with Christ, is so important. And I want to say this. If this is not how you think of yourself in relation to Christ, make it a part of your daily thinking. Make it a part of your daily meditation. I am one with Christ. I don't fully understand it. It's spiritually understood. It's a spiritually knowing. Have you ever had something that you know, but you can't put it into words? You just know it. Now, I've occasionally felt that. That I know something, but I cannot explain it. You could ask me, I would never explain it. I know it deep within myself. And you need to be at that place as well, by faith, that you make this union with Christ, this united with Christ, part of your daily thinking and meditation. You think about that, if you dwell on that, and as you go through your day, you learn, I am united with Christ. Guess what? It's not so easy to live in a way that's opposite to him and his teachings. And not only that, it's a faith thing. It will release the power of the Spirit in your life as well. And I can say that from personal experience. Make it this union with Christ, which is what being a Christian is all about, friends. Everything else spins out from that, comes out from that. This is the thing that Jesus wanted, out of all that he wanted to achieve. This is what he wanted. You to be in union with him, to be one with him in his death, and one with him in his resurrection, and be with him eternally. Friends, make it your key Christian frame of reference. Make it your key Christian frame of reference. Make it the criteria or stated value in relation to which all other measurements, all other judgments are made. Even the judgments about yourself. Yes, I am a sinner. But sin has no longer power over me, and I have been freed in Christ. I am somebody who occasionally sins, but I have been made perfect in Christ. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. Make it your frame of reference. Make it by you make other judgments. Times when you condemn yourself. Times when you have to make decisions about different things. Make it your frame of reference. I am united with Christ. Being united with Christ, do I go there? And for what reason would I go there? Because I am united with Christ. In this committee that I'm part of, this school that I work in, this factory that I work in, how am I to be? Because I am united with Christ. And everything else is measured and judged by that. How am I to be in those situations? Paul used this little phrase, in Christ, 73 times. Do you think it might be important? To be united to Christ, be in Christ, it's the all-important reality for the Christian. And we're all in different phases of that in our Christian experience. And again, you must not be condemned, but don't stay where you are. God will take you on your journey as you realize you are united with Christ and that He is your life. See, the problem is that so often other things are our life. Our careers, our families, so many things, our friends, our possessions. We've got to be very careful. He is your life. He is your life. And He is the creator of life. Romans 6:5, we are told very clear, we're united with Him. And we're united to Him in His death. So the benefits of being united in His death are, yes, we've already said, resurrection to eternal life. Romans 6:5. If we've been united with Him like this in His death, we'll certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. Aren't you excited you're going to spend eternity with Jesus? You are going to be so connected. When this body goes and you are in heaven or in His presence, it's going to be in a way that you can't even imagine. We've got to start using those God-given imaginations. And not just like me sometimes, watching too much sci-fi. And use my imagination that way. Start using your imagination in the whole area of what's it going to be like to be so close to Jesus and so in heaven where He just fills everything in such a special way. Resurrection to eternal life. Freedom from sin and its eternal consequences. Romans 6:6. For we know, do we? For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who's died has been freed from sin. I want to say to you that, again, this whole thing, we have faith to believe we're forgiven, but do we have faith to believe that we have power over sin? When we're tempted, when we want to react, when we want to do something, and we got that conscience, that thing in our hearts, I want to tell you, in Christ, you have power to say no. That's what it means to be dead to sin. You have power by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the more of the Spirit you have, the more of the life of Christ you have, the more authority you will have over sin in your life. Your old self. We know that old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves. We may occasionally, myself, you may occasionally sin, but you're not a slave. Paul, you're not a slave to sin. Don't say you are. Couldn't help myself. It's not true. By Scripture, it's not true. But thank God for His grace and His mercy. Otherwise, I wouldn't be stood here today. Importantly, without being united in His death, there is no resurrection and there's no power of sin. That uniting with Him is so important. Without uniting with Christ, there's no intimacy. And we've talked about that and that oneness that's so important. You know what, friends? The intimacy of being in union with Christ is a fellowship and a relationship in the Spirit that is truly amazing. That a human being could have that type of relationship with the Creator. As we already said, He unites Himself as one with Him in spirit. Colossians 1:27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches, the mystery which is Christ in you. The more of Christ you have in you, you can get attractive people that look wonderful and all that sort of thing. But you know, very often the people that you're attracted to most is something about in them. And it's what's in you, if you allow that to grow, becomes attractive to the world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. What an amazing thing. You know, and I just, one of my favorite passages of scripture is Jesus' high priestly prayer in John. When he says in John 17, 23, I in them and you in me. Jesus in you and Jesus in God. It's an amazing thing. It's wonderful. And that is what being a Christian is. Christ in you. Christ in God. John Piper has a series on being united in his death that goes over many weeks. It's got lots of material. If you want to go into this a bit more, if you look up John Piper and this is stuff that he goes into in this whole area. But there's one or two quotes that I got from looking at some of his stuff, and it's just very concise. So there's a quote here. If you are a Christian, God created a union between you and Christ and says, because of this union, you died with Christ when he died. Because you died, you are now free from the guilt and power of sin in your fullest and truest identity. That is, in your union with Christ. And because of this unshakable position, that's great, isn't it? Because of this unshakable position and identity, you are already justified. Remember, we use that old saying, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. And you are most certainly being sanctified. That is, being cleansed and changed into Christ's likeness. But you're not yet perfected. Therefore, confirm this great transaction by reckoning yourself to be what you are really in Christ. Your frame of reference. This is who I am in Christ. I am justified as if I haven't sinned. I'm being sanctified. I know I'm not perfect yet, but one day I will be. Declare it. Believe it. Live it. Thank you, John Piper. The challenge of being united is death, we've already covered. I could share some scriptures with you around this. Colossians 3:1. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. I think I've already made that quite clear. Where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That's an incredible challenge. I can't do that without Christ's help, with God's help. But friends, you don't have, the Bible says, because you don't ask. Sometimes we don't even want to ask things because we almost feel like it feels impossible. Just ask for the impossible. Lord, help me. So hard for me to take my eyes off the things of this world and what's going on at work or what's going on with my family and everything else like that. It's hard sometimes to get my heart fixed. But you see, when you get your eyes fixed on God, you get things into focus. It's not that you are denying what's going on or that you're not going to engage with what's going on in the world. But if all you look at is the circumstances, then you're not going to move forward. You're going to be swamped. Your mind's just going to be filled with the things of this world. That's why you have to lift your eyes, look at Christ, look at the potential, look at the fact that he does break in, that he does heal, that he does help, that he does work in ways that we can't even begin to understand. Then look at the circumstances. And prayer helps us do that, doesn't it? That's why prayer is so amazing. Prayer is like, I'm getting my mind off these other things. Lord, I'm praying to you. And I'm praying to you about all sorts of things. But I'm praying about the situation too. And it gets it into its right perspective. Philippians 2:1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, Paul says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. See, I've got to be honest, been there. You know what? This time, over the past few years, God's really been... I never thought I had that. Never thought I had that selfish ambition. It's so sneaky, you know. Just at my level of ministry and where I am, you know, I don't have some great, huge ministry, but I still suffered from selfish ambition and vain conceit. Big words, but just means that actually there were things that I just felt superior about. But in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but the interests of others. That's a huge challenge, isn't it? Not just dealing with your own issues, but dealing with other people's issues too. Having that capacity. Where does that capacity come from? It comes from your union with Christ, that Christ is in you, that the Spirit of God is in you. That's where the capacity comes to be able to do that. My last quote from John Piper. Sorry. He says this, freedom from sin in all of life. That is why I say that this text is tremendous, talking about union with Christ. Text is tremendously relevant for everything you do. This is not about a little religious corner of your life. It's about all of your life. How you're involved in politics, how you vote, how you watch TV, and how you use your leisure time, how you pursue your business, how do you carry out your vocation, how you dress, how you eat, how you spend your money, how you treat your spouse and children, friends, neighbors, and colleagues, how you engage in missions. Being united with Christ in his death affects all of that. Because missions, even family, all of those things very often take a selflessness, a sacrifice. And that only comes from being united in his death. Finally, the privilege of being united in his death. There's a tremendous privilege. And I think hopefully I've been coming right through with this privilege right through. It's just an incredible thing. If we could only grasp it in a small measure, it would transform our lives. The privilege of being united in his death. 1 Peter 2:4. As you come to him, the living stone, the cornerstone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. We haven't talked much about being united together, but I hope you get the spirit of it. It's not just being united with Christ, but in him we're united together. Being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, in this passage, it trumpets the honor and privilege of being a Christian, of being united with Christ, being united in his death and in his resurrection. When it says in verse 7, now to you who believe this stone is precious, many commentators, many people who obviously commented on the Bible, they look at this translation and they say the better translation is its honor is for you who believe. It is an honor. Never forget. Paul, never forget. It's an honor to be a Christian. It is an honor to be united with Christ in his death. It's an honor to know that you have resurrection life and you have the Spirit in you. We take it so often for granted. It is an honor. It's an honor and privilege that we are being built up in him and being made by him. It's an honor and privilege that we can come to him. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. What an honor that we have. The honor that you can offer praise and worship and a life of praise and worship that's acceptable to God through him, through because you're dead and his Spirit can dwell within you because you've been cleansed through the precious blood and been dead to sin and the legal effects of that. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. We have some great worship songs that have come out. We've sung some amazing songs this morning. And it's just been so reflective and so powerful as we just think about our relationship with Christ. But some of the old songs, some of the old things that my mom and dad used to listen to on records, you know, those vinyl things, or even before that, those They had this song. It says this: just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, this my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Dear Lord, let it be. David, if you could just come up with the worship group. That could be your prayer. I did think about singing it to you, but I decided not to. Let's say that again. Just a closer walk with thee. That's for Jesus. Grant it, Jesus, this my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. David is going to lead us in a song. And if those words resonate with you, we're not here to judge one another, but sometimes, you know, like some people are going to make a public fresh commitment to Christ next week, but you might just want to stand and say, Lord, that's my prayer. I just want to have that closer walk with you. That's my prayer. I want to daily walk close to you. Lord, let it be. And if that's you during this song, just stand. I'll be standing anyway. Thanks, David.